In the name of Jesus, we receive revelation that is found in the written word. Today, we are stirred up to walk in the light of your word as the word is taught. Jesus is glorified, even as we are edified. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, we're looking at the Christian faith and material wealth, right? The Christian faith and material wealth. And we said okay, this is the fifth section, right? Did I get it right this time? Fifth? Okay. So, I said to Ross that the Christian faith is very vital to us as believers. And then, not mixing it with material wealth is something that we need to draw that line, and it's very vital we do that. Amen. And we're looking at a couple of things in the past few weeks, which we'll take up from today again, and hopefully run it through this month and run it up at the end of the month. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28 from verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all, even to the end of the age." Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even to the end of the age. Amen. So, we'll say this will be Matthew's summary of what Jesus said within the 40. And we said there's a pattern you must have when you get to Luke. But before we get to Luke, let's see Mark. Mark in Mark chapter 16, make us see that Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. Say in my name, don't cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. So they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So then, after the Lord has spoken to them, Moses sent them into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And the word spoke and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Put that side by side to what Matthew has said, who said this would be the entrance into discipleship. Hallelujah, the entrance into discipleship. And what are the signs of the believing ones? Very vital. Hallelujah. Now, when we get to Luke, Luke gives us a more holistic background than Matthew and Mark, in the sense that he makes us see from verses 44 that Jesus read from the scriptures, and then that the instructions will be instructions of the scriptures. The Bible says in verse 46, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, amen, the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name amongst all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And you are witnesses of these things. Now, some of the proof that you see here is that Luke calls the gospel, that Mark says is preached the gospel, Luke further broke down the word gospel to be the gospel of God's forgiveness of sins, which is repentance. What we are saying, that forgiveness of sins. And it shouldn't be lost on the believers. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be lost on you. That the gospel is the gospel of God's forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. So it tells you the content of the gospel, that sins are forgiven. And what will he be reading from verse 34? He says, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which are written in the law for the true prophet and the sons concerning me." So that means the instructions will be instructions of Genesis down to Malachi. Hallelujah. So that means when I read Genesis to Malachi together, I will find this as the instruction of scriptures. All true scriptures. This will be the instruction of scriptures. God wants to what? Populate the earth with his family. That's what it means. Preach the gospel. Get men saved. Heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we'll get down to Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. He said the whole earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. Hope you're seeing that. Amen and amen. The whole earth. So you see that the underlying word there is the whole world. You find it in Matthew, you find it in Mark, you find it in Luke. Hallelujah. And they will be from the scriptures we read together. Now when we get to John, John says the same thing. Hallelujah. In John chapter 20, look at verses 22.
Of that 21. He said to them, peace unto you, as the Father sent me, so I so sent I you. And what he said is, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost.
When we use the word breath there, we say the word emphasal. Emphasal used for a shorthand for the fact that he taught them.
Hallelujah.
When you put that into the scripture again, you'll find it in Ezekiel chapter 37. When he said, Son of Man, prophesy. He said, prophesy. First of all, he told him that he, can his bone rise again? And he said, only you know.
Very vital. Very wise. Said, only you know. Is it okay? Now he used the word breath there, and he went further to explain how the breath will come upon them. He said, prophesy. Did you see that? To speak. So that means when he used the word and the breath on them there, is a shorthand for the fact that Jesus taught them. Do you see that?
There's a shorthand for he taught them. And what will happen is that they will come back alive. So it's a shorthand for he taught them and they be saved. Hope you are saying that. When he prophesied, the bones came back alive. Very vital. They came back alive. So that means emphasis will mean teaching, right?
We'll mean a shorthand for teaching and then coming back alive. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Would that be resurrection from the dead? Yes. That would be that they got saved. Very vital. Very vital truth you have there. So, immediately, like other writers also, you get the same instruction after the event. So the instruction will be, and he said to them, he breathed on them, received the Holy Ghost, right? He said, whosoever sins ye remit. Did you see the instruction? Whosoever sins.
Remember, the gospel is the gospel of God forgiveness of sins. Did you see that?
So, whosoever sins ye remit. Is that in the gospel? Yes. Did you see that? I remitted. And whosoever ye retain, I retain. Now, when he used the word whosoever, he expects that you're saying that whosoever is used for the whole world.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that whosoever has been used for the world, whosoever believes in him will be the world. Did you see that? So you see that the underlying instruction will be the whole world. Hallelujah. And it follows the same pattern. The instruction of Genesis down to Malachi.
So there's a pattern. Already scriptures already said for us.
So we read from the Genesis.
And we said the writers of the synoptic followed the same pattern in how they wrote about the earthly life of Jesus. The incarnation, the death and the burial, they followed the same pattern of from the Genesis.
This is why what they documented and how they ministered about Jesus was different from the Jesus they had in the world. They ministered Jesus as scripture fulfilled. Did you see that? As scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. You need to see that very clearly. So, in
Latin, Acts of Apostles chapter 2, you see how
Peter explained Jesus of the death of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the resurrection. From scriptures.
Hallelujah. You find that they will always listen for scripture. So the writer of the synoptic did the same. In Matthew 1:1, Matthew will say, call the Bible, or I said the Bible, will call what he's documented is called the book of the Genesis.
So he refers to the Genesis as the Genesis of Jesus, the son of David, the son of God. So that shouldn't be lost on you.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Like I said to us, he gives you one of the things of Genesis, sonship. Hallelujah. The son.
Hallelujah. So you have to go back again to the Genesis. So they are telling you what you have there. You have to go back to the Genesis. Hallelujah. And if you see how Matthew will write all the time, since he's telling you to go back to Moses, you find that he always uses the word that it might be fulfilled. Look at Matthew 2 verse 17. Jesus going down to Egypt, he said that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying in Ramah when they were killing and Jesus was to escape, he said in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not.
He's reading Jeremiah 31 from verse 14. Hallelujah. Hope you are saying that.
Hallelujah from verse 14. So, he said that it might be fulfilled. He used that a whole lot. to tell you that as he's writing, you are seeing that he's writing the life of Jesus from the scriptures as scripture fulfilled. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
So remember, we're answering that same question during
Revelation of God?
Yeah, I guess we're answering that in Revelation of God. Where did the day write for Jesus to fulfill? Or is Jesus just fulfilling? Yeah, that, yeah. So we're looking at all that too. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go for that. Look at Mark 2. Mark used another shape for the word Genesis. When he used the word in the beginning of the gospel, beginning, okay. You find it, it goes again to show you how to read again. You say you read backward. It goes again in verses 2 to Malachi, and then verse 3, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. He goes again to the, from Malachi, he goes to Isaiah. Hallelujah. You find also Luke already. We've seen Luke, John, in the beginning was the word, beginning again. The word was with God, and the word is God. Goes, takes you back again to the beginning. Luke also mentioned beginning. Hallelujah. He called the eyewitness from the beginning. So that means what he's documenting is making you see that it's going to be from the beginning. The eyewitness account were not just stories, but they were eyewitness from the Genesis. He takes your attention again to the Genesis. Hope I say that. So it should be lost for you. That a Bible student must follow the same pattern when he studies the scriptures from the Genesis. So do not downplay any part of the scriptures. It should be read together. Hallelujah. Back to Matthew 28 where we were, he says, teaching them. Teaching them. And we said, for Jesus to use the word teaching them, it therefore means that the Christian faith is a knowledge-based faith. Hallelujah. It's a knowledge-based faith, teaching them. Why? Because information is important. When a man gets saved, he needs information. Not information to validate whether he's saved or not. No. I've always told us that, right? The information he gets is not an information to validate whether he's saved or not. No. Any truth, or let me not call it truth, any gospel, any message that tries to nullify your faith in Christ is not from God. It's false. That is the first checklist you must put on any message. Does it inspire you to or does it put a dent, a punch on your assurance of salvation? Then it's wrong. Because every other information you get after being saved should reinforce salvation. Very vital. Hallelujah. Not to make you start thinking, am I really saved or not? Are you born again? Which name are you born into? Well, I was born into the name of Jesus. So no, it's not Jesus, it's Yehoshua. Oh, okay. It's Yehoshua. So Jesus is J. I just saw someone in one of our classes. One of our forum, rather, not classes. Our forum. Trying to analyze the word J. And I was just laughing recently. In fact, this morning. I was about going to take my bed, I said, let me just check truth. I was analyzing J. I was using that, okay, even Tandeli, the first translator from Latin to English, never used the word J. So, I was just trying, I was just laughing, I was just like, wow, I was in this spot. Remember, I couldn't say anything because was actually fighting my enemies for me too. So I just allowed him be, fight them well. Amen. Fighting my enemies. I was like, okay. He's taking my side. Young guy like that. Amen. Yeah, I fight my enemies for me. Let me just see, put my hands out loud. But it's just funny, see? You need to be baptized into the name of Yahushua. Not just Yahushua, Yahushua Amashiach. So if you are baptized in the name of Jesus, you are not born again. No, that's nonsense. Amen. Now automatically put a red light on that doctrine. Hope you follow me. So what information do we need? Information that reinforces service to the Lord. Hallelujah. Teaching them. So that means your knowledge of... we say the knowledge best faith. They invite them that our worship of God is only to give about knowledge about God.
So God wants us to know Him and know what we have in this faith. Did you see that? Hallelujah. In this faith. I used to give an example. Imagine you get someone born again who is a Muslim. And he didn't teach him anything. Just get him saved. He's born again. And then you tell him, you know what? Pray tonight. Make sure you pray. I will see you next week. Make sure you pray morning and night. No information. Just pray morning and night. And make sure you study the holy book. You didn't use Bible. You study the holy book often. You didn't give him a Bible. Say, study the holy book. Or study the scriptures. Study the scriptures. And then make sure you pray twice. I know information. And he's just hearing, just getting saved. How do you think that one is going to pray? You think he's going to pray in tongues? No, don't be deceived. He's just getting born again. No information. He just say, this Jesus, Jesus saved me. You're born again. I know, thank you Jesus, I'm born again. He says, you know what? I'm going to see you next week. But every day, pray two times and read the Holy Scriptures. You will not be amazed that the day you come in to find him pray, he's kneeling down like this and he's doing halal work. I say, no, you're born again. No, but you didn't give him any information. Is it enough? You didn't give him any information. And don't be surprised, he tells you to study the scripture. Ask him which scripture have you studied? He'll tell you Quran. Because you didn't give him a Bible. How many are you? So how do you want him to worship the Lord? Amen. Amen. You see why there was a whole lot of information in scripture. Some things we're going to look at in the coming years in scriptures. Where because of, you see, the reason why God was saying, you shall serve no other gods before me. In fact, he told them at some point, he said, you shall not liken me to anything. Why do you think he told them that he was strong about this? He was just coming from Egypt. When they saw that gods were giving different barrettes. There's God for water, God for this, God for birth, God for seasons, God for... They have God for everything. Did you see that? They're coming for that. And they were represented with images. They said, no, you shall not liken me to anything. That includes liking him to the guy that acted Passion of the Christ. You shall not liken me to anything. They put it on their doorpost. Papa, now put chuku-chuku. That is not so nice, chuku-chuku. That's Jesus. You can't say, oh Jesus. That is not him. You shall not liken me to anything. Amen. So when they pray, their mind is on that picture. And they are praying to Jesus. No, you shall not liken me to anything. Amen. That is very strong. See why God will tell them that. God is knowledge based. You cannot liken me to anything. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Some people think today, when they pray, oh Lord Jesus, their mind goes to Passion of the Christ. You watch it and you cry. That is, you get born again, I watch Passion of the Christ. You were never born again. Amen. You don't get born again by watching a movie. I don't want to get into that today. Amen. Glory to God. So, they say knowledge is very important. And I told us that there are people today who are angry with God over things they thought he promised them. You know, it's knowledge based. Look at how Paul, who writes to Philemon, he wanted Philemon to receive Onesimus. And he prayed for him that the communication of your faith, Philemon, verses 4 to 6, says that the communication of your faith may become effectual. This is a communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging. That is what epignosis, full and precise knowledge, accurate knowledge of things. This is that? That means your Christian work is going to be, your Christian work is going to be of your mind. Very vital. Hallelujah. He prays for him to grow in knowledge. Hallelujah. So some people are angry with God over things that they felt God promised them. They felt God promised them money in their bank account and they're angry. Thank God. Promised them good jobs.
And most times that is not of
what they heard before they got saved. Now, sometimes not what they heard directly. That's what I mean.
Sometimes might not be what they heard directly that got them saved. Most times it is what they heard before they now got saved. You see that? So if you have it somewhere in their minds, that's okay. Imagine the disciples of Jesus in asking that question in Acts of Apostles. After I was on teaching them, can you at this one restore again the kingdom to Israel? Imagine they didn't ask him the question. And sometimes I just say, thank God for Peter. Peter's kind of lifestyle helped us a whole lot. And helped them too.
No, Peter had this, sorry to say, there was a time a friend of mine wrote something about Peter online, and a pastor that is Dr. Peter came at him. He wrote something about Peter and I spoke about Paul. Paul, he's a Paul man. Yeah, I like Paul. So I'm saying on this, look at how Paul just came in, he gave life to thee, to baptism, that Peter was still doing water baptism. Look at Paul, he came in, he showed, the guy took a defense of Peter. He took a big defense of Peter, so I'm very careful. So Peter, my friend used to say, Peter is always there. He's always talking ahead. So I believe that it was Peter that said that. We are this time. We are this time. Restore again the kingdom to Israel. Imagine they didn't ask him. He just had it in their mind. Alright then? Eternal kingdom? Perfect. And Jesus left. You know that what they will be doing next, what they will have done next will have just been, let's go and fight Caesar. Imagine that, let's go. He spoke of our kingdom! Carry out! You know? We are just going to say again, and Jesus answered. There's more for you to do. Did you know? That Jesus said, that's not your business. He showed them like a shining. We don't see that on Sunday. Amen? He said, shining them, no! Some say that as a pastor, you don't say, no, no, no. No! As in, you raise your voice. That's what means you raise your voice. You no! Don't try it! What do you mean of that?
Something like that.
Don't do it!
Yeah? Glory to God. You pitch your voice higher. You must learn to do it. Hallelujah. Learn to do it. And you know what?
You can also do it among fellow believers. Maybe a brother going and say, go! Ah! Thanks, Lord! It's not your Lord! Everybody doesn't love you! Hallelujah! You see, brother, and every brother, I say, oh, brother, the Lord bless you. No, he said, no! Have you prayed? Pray! You are not changing my brother, but it's just like, it's love. Amen? Peter saw disciples coming, and Paul was there. He started, he was eating well, and flowing well with Jesus. He saw people going,
Let me tell you something. But I didn't do anything to you. There's this brother like that. He didn't know, that was years back. He didn't know I was coming. He wanted to take a drug.
He didn't know I was coming. He was sick. He didn't know I was coming. So I saw him, but I got the one. So he went to he got through the medicine. He didn't know I saw him. I was my shoe. I saw him already from window. He got through the room.
He said, I'm not sipping water. I said, God, drink your medicine.
I didn't say anything. I was just thinking, I said, this is yourself. You think I don't know.
Cancel.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't say anything. It was.
I know when I left, he drank it too. But I was told you not to drink. But amen. Amen. So where were we? So what about what God never promised them? Some people just, and it's nonsense. Hallelujah. Amen. And we looked at some of those things. We looked at Abraham's blessing, right? So let's a bit stay on what the Christian faith about. We looked at it, right? Some people think the Christian faith is about going to heaven, and I debunked that to you. heaven, the Christian faith is not about going to heaven. Rather, the Christian faith is about heaven. It's not about going to heaven. The Christian faith is about heaven. Amen. The Christian is not about going there, but about heaven. Which heaven? Or what is it about? What heaven? Heaven. What? It's about heaven in all the earth. That's what the Christian faith is about. God starts in all the earth. God raising his family in all the earth. Right? Did you see all this? It's about Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. We started a bit late. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Where it says, and I will make my name great. I told you, you'll find a bit of a translation, a translator's bias there, where they say, and I will make your name great. Now, that is actually not what the original said. The original said, and I will make name great. And if you look at this critically, it was a counter narrative to what has happened in chapter 11. Is God saying he will make his name great? Right? Hallelujah. How will he make his name great? In all the families of the earth. Heaven in all the earth. You see that? Amen. So what were they doing? Idol worship. God says it's not going to be idol worship. It's not going to be man making his name great. If God has said he's going to make the name of Abraham great, those guys wanted to make their name great. You see that? It's about not man but God's family in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Glory to God. So we began dealing with material wealth. Look at Abraham's blessing. Right? And Abraham's blessing has nothing to do with riches. Has nothing to do with material possession. Right? Hallelujah. Right, I would say Abraham was even rich before God called him. Abraham was rich. Was a big guy. Big boy. Amen. He sponsored his trip. Wasn't waiting for palliatives. Before he would travel. Before he would fulfill God's will in all the earth. Wasn't looking for palliatives. Wasn't looking for loans. He was big. Amen. Amen. So very vital. Also, we also looked at last week the use of the word riches, right? And we said, I will look at how Paul used the word riches. He used the word riches for riches in God's glory, God's goodness, and God's grace. Was that what we looked at last week? So we saw all that. Okay. And when we say God, when we use the word rich there, rich is used for what is in abundance, right? It refers to abundance. So when we say rich in God's goodness, God's grace, God's glory, it's talking about abundance of God's goodness, glory, and grace. We saw all that last week. So you get the teaching for last week. Hallelujah. So we also looked at something from Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 that someone can be rich in this world. Hallelujah. Let's pick it up from there. That is Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Look at what Jesus said. He says, he also that receiveth seed amongst the thorn is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches. Isn't that? Now, when you talk about deceitfulness of riches, they're talking about the riches of this world. He said, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Look at something that Jesus uses that actually chokes the world. He calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Riches of this world. Did you see that? Now, when talk about riches of this world, was referring to material possessions. Material possessions. Hallelujah. Material possessions. Something that is very vital. Now we said, The focus here is on the trust of the material possessions. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the trust in it is not the riches itself, but the care and the service. Okay, the care and the heart. So that's why he uses the word there, the deceitfulness of riches. He used the word the cares of this world. Cares. He used that word care. You see that? And it means to the heart. And what does he call the cares of this world? He called it the deceitfulness of riches. You see that? So it means to the heart. So Jesus was dealing with the heart here. He said it chokes the word. So where's the word supposed to go? To the heart. You see that? Hallelujah, the heart. And what is there deceitfulness of riches. Did you see that? So it talks about trust. Trusting in riches. We're going to get to that shortly. And I told us that if there was one thing that Jesus warned about, is service to mammon. Mammon. Hallelujah. He warned about it. Mammon. Mammon deals with wealth. So you can't serve God and mammon. Hallelujah. That should be Matthew 6 verse 24. Let's go back a bit to Matthew 6 verse 24. Matthew 6 verse 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. It says, for either he will hate one. Hate one there means he will love less. Did you see that? He will love less. He will hate one and love the other. Or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Did you see that? You can't serve God and mammon. And it's referring to wealth. I'm talking about being a slave to it. Did you see that? Being a slave to it is very strong. Very strong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the reason why Peter would rebuke Simon, a actor for the brother called Simon, is a brother.
Yeah, Simon the sorcerer, he was a brother already.
He was saved already. Yeah. And then talk to them. He was saved. Hallelujah. So Peter went back to get them through the Holy Ghost. So he saw that the Holy Ghost fell on people because of, now remember what I said, things that you have known. Did you see that? So he broke that kind of mindset again. He says, and you know, if you had it that the guy was rich. So what did he do? He offered Peter money. Without offering money, I heard this from my pastor some years back. And he said, what he actually offered Peter was he showed him to wealth. He showed him to riches. Did you see that? He showed him to riches. So that means he was like making a boast on his riches, that he was like making a boast on riches. I'll show you this thing. So he had confidence in money, and the reason why Peter refused it. Hallelujah. Because you can be born again and have confidence in money. And have faith in riches. You can be slave to both. Obey everything. You can serve two masters at the time. And that reinforces what Jesus has said here. Hallelujah. You know, I know people can pitch tents and say what Peter did is wrong. Yeah. It's because he's not his disciple. True. Yeah, it was Philip who was his pastor, the very pastor that he did that so Philip would have sat him down. Disciple like true, yes, we know. Because you know how long it took you to win that soul. Okay, yeah. He can afford to go and pitch Isaac and his brother. He won them. Right? They were guys pastors. Now imagine you have them go and pick this big head there, Benjamin. You don't know if Benjamin is the count of fire. If you don't show up, he's a little bit. You understand? What is the difference? One, direct responsible. Right? The other one. Yeah. I'm giving you five counts. Five counts. Yes, I understand that. But yet, don't miss what Peter did. Amen. Don't miss it. You can't trust in wealth. Look at Luke 12. We found someone who Jesus met, and he's a writer. That just comes. Okay. Let me show you. Let me move a bit further from in my notes. Let's see how Jesus taught on material wealth. Yeah, let me just move further. For my notes, because we are still coming back here again to Luke 12. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave a parable, and we'll see a detail of it shortly. Let us see the parable, then we'll come back to it. So how Jesus taught it? Look at Luke 12, verses 16. Jesus gave a parable, and Jesus spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to store my fruit. Then he says, this I will do. I'll pull down my bounds. I'll build greater and will bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Stop.
I'm going to treat it here, but I'm not treating it when I use it there. But yes, eat, drink, and merry. What does that show?
Idol worship. Is a word used for idol worship in the Old Testament.
Hallelujah. That construct is a word for idol worship. Or put it this way, is a word for worship. Now in the Old Testament book is idol worship. Do you see that? So that means he's stating confidence in himself. Do you see that? In his riches. Do you see that?
My soul eat merry, eat, drink, and merry. And God said unto you, thou fool. That's the reason why God said thou fool. Because he's already pointing to idol worship. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's all about the children of Israel that they rose to eat. I actually don't have that commentary in my today's notes, but I could get that for you shortly. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I guess Paul actually made mention of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm trying to kill. A second. Let me get to 1 Corinthians 10. Okay, 10 verse 7. Look at it. Okay, that is Exodus 32:4. Okay, good. It says, let there be idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Is that Mary? Yes. Did you see that? Can you see that? That's very vital. Okay. Glory to God. Hope you can see that. Okay. Hope you can see that. It calls it idolatry. Can you see that clip? He calls it what? Idolatry. People sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Is that the same thing with Luke 12 verses 19? To eat, drink, and be merry. This is that idolatrous. So God said, thou fool. You see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, automatically, I skipped a major part of my book. I just knew that I was jumping. Okay. I'll get back to it. Amen. Then quickly rush to verse 21. Look at what Jesus said. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Do you see that? So what is the issue here? He wasn't rich towards God. Do you see that? That means his faith wasn't in God but on his riches. Do you see that? So his trust was in his riches. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Okay. So, like I said to Ross, he trusts in his riches, and that is idol worship. So, what is idol worship? What is idol worship? Idol worship is that which is placed above the worship of God. Idol worship is that which is placed above the worship of God. Otherwise, in Matthew 6:24, we write, he said, is that you love one and hate another? Is that you hate one and love another? Or you love one and despise the other? Did you see that? How the idol worship? What are you following me? Look at Luke 18. Luke 18. From verses 18. Say, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, say, what shall I do? Automatically, it tells you his mindset. I need to do something. Self-righteousness. Did you see that? Well, because he's rich, he felt he could buy it. He could buy eternal life. What can I do? Yeah? If you think that your money can buy heaven for you, the Bible says no. This is it. Yeah? Glory to God. Verse 19. And Jesus said to him, "What callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "This is not cared for my youth." Very proud. Say, "This is not one small thing." My father would never say him that I said anything wrong to him. My father, he knows me now. I said to him every morning. I honor him. My father. You know what I make money? You know what I make money? At age 14, I already have men. You know, when I was in primary school, I have bodyguards. That's not the song. So, I made money. I said to my parents. Sounds like that. I said to my parents.
Glory to God.
So he was a mouth making machine. Glory to God. Okay, let's be fine. In a world that's turned upside down. So look at him. So he had so much confidence in himself. Hallelujah. But this one, I've kept it for my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said unto him, he said, verse 22, he said to him, "Yea, lackest thou one thing, sell all thou hast." So that means he has made a boast of it. Did you see that? He has made a boast of it. He says, "Sell all thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Did you see that? And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" Who then can be saved? He answered, "The things that are impossible with men are possible with God." Hallelujah. Did you see that? So the man got sorrowful and went his way. Why? Because he had trusted in his riches. So when Jesus told him to sell his riches, Bible said for him he was rich. Did you see that? So he said to him, "You have to set your priorities right." Hallelujah. You have to set your priorities right. That's what it's telling you. Set your priorities right. And it becomes very vital. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the issue is not that he was rich. We're going to see that shortly. The issue was that he had confidence in his riches. He has trust in his riches. Not that riches is bad. We saw something last week about, we saw something on Sunday, the rich man of Arimathea who became a disciple. Did you see that? Did you see that? Matthew 27, 57. See that? Hallelujah. 57 says, and when the evil was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He was rich. Did you see that? So what is the difference between this rich man and the other rich man? This one is Jesus' disciple. The other one trusted in his riches. Why this one had trust in God? Just that, but are they both rich? They are both rich. Okay, so the issue is not whether he had material prosperity, do you see that? But actually, where his heart is. Okay, following me. Okay, following me. Okay, we're going to get to something now. Look at 1 Timothy 4:17. 1 Timothy 4:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world. Now when you use the word charge them that are rich in this world, it means they have material possessions. Did you see that? It says they are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Did you see it? So the issue, and it was, remember, Timothy is a pastor in church. Did you see that? He was a pastor in the church at Ephesus. So he said, charge them that are rich in this world. Is it rich in this world like those who are not saved? No, we're talking about his congregation. That means Timothy had rich people in his congregation. And he said, charge them that are rich in this world. You see that? That they be not high-minded. We're going to get there. Not trust in uncertain riches, but in God. So he's telling them, warn them in church. Warn the rich guys in church that they should be not high-minded or trust in their riches. Did you see that? So at every point in time, a believer must not trust in their riches. He's not saying believers shouldn't be rich. He's saying shouldn't trust in their riches. Did you see that? Okay, follow me. Shouldn't trust. That is the watchword. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shouldn't trust in the riches. And I've already heard people say money is the root of evil. No, not money. The love of money. I say that always. Love of money. Love of money means trust in the money. Hallelujah. Amen. Trust in it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's see a few things. Back to Luke. We're going to deal with some of these things next week, and then we'll begin to round up on this. Get into some other details next week. Look at Luke 12. That Luke 12 where we left us just now. Luke 12. But this time we're going to start from verse 13. Now you see the whole food story. Say, and one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divided inheritance with me. Ah! You know, he's a Jew. Jews price, have a high price on inheritance, literally land. They don't joke with land. Okay, hear me. So they say it's just like Igbo men. That's what the Igbo say, they are Jews. Very laughing. My Igbo man, but that theory is Igbo. Jews in Nigeria. Hear that? Glory to God. So he said, you know, Igbo men too like land. So they're not going to read Jesus. You know, meet Jesus, and then they said, talk to my brother. You know, pastor, talk to my brother that he should divide land with me. And I said, oh, give me your brother's number. Hello? Do you know that Femi is my son in the Lord? No, don't do that. You know what Jesus said? I just said to him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? He's a writer. So it quickly, Jesus actually tells you that dividing of properties or land is not his responsibility. Dividing of material possession is not his responsibility. Amen. It shows you immediately. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. I said it's just about land. He said, beware of covetousness. We're going to see that shortly. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesses. A man's life consists not of the things which he possesses. Now when you use the word possesses here, is the word in the Greek, Euparchonta, Eucharchonta, Euparchonta. It means to own. So a man's life consists not of the things which he possesses. So quickly, when he used that word possess there, it means Jesus recognized that the man is rich based on inheritance. This is that what he possesses, material things. But look at what Jesus centered on. He centered on what? Beware of covetousness. This is that. He was specific. The things which he possesses, that's a beware of covetousness. Hallelujah. So a man's life doesn't consist of material things. And he tells you, beware of covetousness. Hallelujah. So rather than you, when you do what covetousness, we're going to deal with that word now. So rather than you focusing on, when Jesus says consist of what he has, means this guy already has land. Amen. Now he now wants extra one. He wants to add more estates. Want to add more. So now Jesus says, yes, see, it's not about adding more. Hallelujah. But about covetousness. So Jesus is not saying adding more, having more properties is wrong. No. But beware of covetousness. Now when you want covetousness there, is the word in the Greek pleonexia, pleonexia, pleonexia. It implies a greedy desire to have more. Greed. So in not the having more, but the greed behind the having more, that is wrong, that you should be aware of. Hallelujah. The greed. Hallelujah. So the focus was not on adding more or having more, but on greed. Look at verse 16. He went ahead to give a parable. The parable we read earlier. It says, the God of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And what was he doing? He was buttressing greed. And he placed his greed side by side idol worship. Greed over material possession. So when a man is greedy, greed is a sin of the heart. Greed, I'll say it again, greed is a sin of the heart. So when a man is greedy, the man is not watching his heart. He's not watching his heart. Greed. That's not what you have. It's covetousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at what he said in verse 18. He said, so he said, this I will do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater. and I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, so thou hast much leisure.
Greed. Stomach. Vanity. So the believer must watch vanity. Just watch it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man trusted in his wealth from the parable.
He has so much, he controlled things. No, that's how we say today. He's controlling things. He was controlling things. But there was one thing he forgot he cannot control. Life. He cannot control his life. You see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Control things? Well, you should know that there are certain things you don't have control over. So you have to watch vanity. The believer must watch vanity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I begin to close because time. 8:10. I begin to close. Okay. So it shows you something you must see that Jesus points out to us is the fact that this man, before he came to meet Jesus, is materially wealthy, right? Jesus pointed that out to us. The man's life consists of things which he owns. Showing you that, and Jesus also saying to him, who appoint me a divider over you? You see that? Shows you that human possession of material things is some human endeavor. This man got his possession from inheritance. You see that? Human endeavors. We saw the other rich man who Jesus took to one cell all he had. You see that? All he had. So material prosperity, put it that way, material possessions comes from human endeavors. Sometimes it comes from the kind of family you are in. I say that for a reason. Okay, follow this. Some people are rich because of the wealth that was transferred to them from a generation of wealthy people. Do you understand me? Amen. I must note that it was not God. It is what? It is. And I think sometimes people need to know. Amen. People need to know. It is from human endeavors. Come back, follow me. Human endeavors. Human endeavors. That's how they got what they have. But God, you didn't bless me. Bless this person. A human endeavors. Hallelujah. So, what Jesus focused on here was on control. Control, covetousness, greed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Greed. Greed. So Jesus' teaching, as we will see further from this week, on material possession, should be, you though you have material possession, you don't allow the material possession to possess your heart. You don't allow it to possess your soul. Prayer. You don't allow it to possess your soul. Rather, you should have control over them. Hallelujah. You have control, you should have control over them. Watch your heart. Hallelujah. Watch your heart. Now you have control over them. Watch your heart, control. Hallelujah. And then, while doing that, Jesus also makes you see where we have human endeavors from. I mean, where we have human possessions. Human possessions come from. Hallelujah. Hope you're with me. Hope you're with me. So watch your heart. Very vital. Watch your heart. Watch your heart. And watch greed. Very vital. Watch your heart. Greed. These are very, very vital things as a believer. Must watch. While also recognizing the fact that material possession causes some human endeavors. Amen. We're going to deal with all that. Amen. To the believer walk, the believer wait, to the believer wait for miracle money. We'll deal with all that in the coming 2 weeks. Hallelujah. Praise God. Learn something? Let's thank God.